Blog Talk Radio.
You know,
just play.
One of the most beautiful things in life is when a boy finds a girl he loves.
Yeah.
And in his mind, some of the things he wants to do for that girl are almost impossible.
Quietly.
You see, girl, I've never been loved before. But God knows.
There's a first time for everything. First time I let her in my bed, she got wetter than the perfect storm that we weathering together. And this is the first time that I ever considered wedding rings. But first things first, yo, met her at the bar, rolling with three wise men like I followed the star. And there she is, shorty bi-coastal, thick like bifocals, stacked like Tupac vocals, her body so local. Jeweler the now, so I'm romancing the stone. The rhythm is in the word to watch her dance in my poems.
What up? How y'all doing on this Monday night, this college football playoff weekend? Everything is started and everything else. Anyway, this is Scott Burst coming to you with the Clown Hour. And you can find my sports blog, The Clown Times, on the web. It's Crossover K. Just do a search. Don't do a search yet. Just type in www.theclowntimes.net. And you can also find a search on Facebook, that is. Again, it's Crossover K. Just do search for The Clown Times. And the search window on Facebook, you'll be able to find me there. Speaking of college football playoff weekend, we had our conference championships, or in the case of the Big 12, quote-unquote champions, and look how that ended up. But at any rate, there were a lot of debates, a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth going on. And to join me to help me break down the college football playoff and to see, and I heard that this gentleman has beef. So this is Dwayne Nash, not known from the Yard / HBCU Sports. So what up, Dwayne?
Scott, what's going on?
Oh, you tell me, brother. You tell me. It's been a crazy week, football weekend, in NFL and college football. So I'm going to get started.
Oh, man. I have no idea where to get started.
Hey, man, before you really go in, Cedric Hall was supposed to join tonight as well, but he's been with a family emergency, so please keep him in your prayers. But move right along. I know that you have beef, not just beef, but mad beef. This electric four picks. So before I let you have the floor and let you have a good few minutes to get that off your chest, I just going to tell you my little two-step real quick. I put together a rant on why I thought that the college football playoff committee got it right. There's no disrespect to Baylor, no disrespect to TCU. They're both two hell of a team. Okay? I'm not knocking those cats. I'm just saying that, one thing, the Big 12 does not have a conference championship game. Mm-hmm. All that bullshit that Commissioner Bob Bowlesby talked in the summer about, quote, unquote, one true champion, because they do play a round robin. I get that. They play nine conference games. I get that too. But when he all of a sudden rescinded and pretty much reneged on what he said and start to offer co-champion, that's what I had a problem with. I mean, and it's not Baylor or TCU's fault. It's just the Big 12 doing a disservice to both Baylor and TCU. All he had to come out and say is, stick to his one true champion mantra. After all, Baylor did beat TCU head to head. So technically, Baylor Bears were your Big 12 conference champions for 2014. So this is what I think. I think that Bowlesby tried to have his cake and eat it too. I thought that he figured that he had two one-loss teams. They were ranked, I think, third and sixth, respectively, in the college football playoff poll, that he could somehow get both those catches by having this kick and eating it, too. But they didn't count on Ohio State curb stomping. It wasn't just curb stomping. It was a violation of Wisconsin with the third-string quarterback, 59-0. I mean, what the hell? 59-0 with a third-string quarterback. And, of course, you couldn't deny Ohio State after that. You're not going to kick Florida State out, first of all. That's the only unbeaten team in the Power 5 conference. You're not going to kick out Oregon, and you're definitely not going to kick out Bama. So, as the saying goes, life ain't fair, Big 12. Now, run along, grab two more sorry-ass teams. I'm taking Cincinnati and BYU, even though some people say Cincinnati and Memphis for some reason, and have a conference championship game like everybody else. What say you, my friend? Let's get your beef off your chest right now.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well.
Yes, sir.
After about a day, I mean, I still have beef with the committee, but after listening to a couple of things, reading a couple of articles here and there, something was said that kind of resonated with me. Had this been the order last week, or last week's poll didn't exist and we saw the Final Four, a lot of people wouldn't be upset, including myself, because there's no way that you could potentially deny the top four that are in there. Within the past couple of weeks, they've played some of the best football in the country.
Right.
Now, with that said, last week did happen.
Yes.
And
yes.
For some reason, the committee was bold enough to put TCU third ahead of an unbeaten Florida State team. Now,
yeah, exactly.
I will say this. I thought that, and excuse my French, the committee was a little chicken shit in terms of placing Florida State at number four when they did. I truly believe that they should have been placed at number four when they struggled against Boston College. Now, I was under the impression that things that will be taken into consideration would be strength of schedule and strength of opponent and how well you played them. They struggled against a Boston College team that wasn't ranked, and they've been struggling against teams all year long or have been in situations where they've had to barely win games.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that they should have been placed fourth a couple of weeks later that week they lost to Boston College. But they went ahead and they, I don't know what happened, but they decided that, because of course this entire system is not transparent with the committee, but they decided to put TCU third ahead of Florida State. With that done, and another thing that I heard being said, that basically the poll, especially the one given out by the committee, is a week-to-week snapshot of what has happened in college football.
Okay.
With that being the case, with everyone else at spots 1, 2, 3, and 5, all basically winning by more than 20 points or 25 points, even if you want to be that that generous, and Florida State only winning by 2, you would think that the team that's number 4 would be the one to fall out of the top 4, not the team that's number 3 being jumped by the team that was Ohio State was 7th, right? Or 6th? They were 6th.
Ohio State was 5th, I thought.
They were 5th.
And Baylor was 6th. Baylor was 6th, yes.
Okay, so for TCU to drop 3 spots to 6th, in my opinion, I understand that they played a weak team. I understand that, you know, there was no conference game played, and I have my opinions about that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. With all of that even said and done, because Florida State, of course, they played their weaker teams throughout the year as well, you can't give me the argument of, okay, it's when you play your weak team. It's the fact that they played a weak team. I don't think that TCU should have dropped out. But like I said before, had last week's poll never existed and we look at what we have, I wouldn't have been upset. But for whatever reason, the committee just decided to follow, in my personal opinion, the pressure of public opinion and decided to say that, hey, you know what? We have to keep this undefeated Florida State team in. I'm not even going to go do the whole thing of a reigning champion. I don't even like using that term, the term of reigning champion.
You think about Facebook,
yeah, and you've seen my beef with that. But even with that said, I think they caved under personal of pressure of public opinion and decided to keep Florida State in and had no choice but to move Ohio State above TCU. That's my opinion.
Okay. So before I get into the Florida State side of things, explain to the folks out there who wasn't reading the thread on Facebook about your beef in different places, that is, on the term defending champion. So please describe what your beef was to the term defending champion.
Well, and then once again, I know a lot of people, and as you saw, have disagreed with me when it comes to this point. There, in my personal opinion, there is defending champions only occur in three sports: boxing,
okay,
MMA, and if you want to count it as a sport, professional wrestling. Because
okay,
these are sports in which a person or an individual or a team that is crowned a champion has the ability to go out and lose that championship to said opponent at that point in time. Another reason why I say that there's no such thing as defending champion is because of the fact that these champions are crowned at the end of the year. So they're the champion of last year. And every year there is a new champion crowned. So you can't be a defending champion if you can't necessarily lose that championship whenever you play. You can't
wait
until another title game in order to lose a championship. In my personal opinion, you should be able to have an opportunity to lose a championship whenever you face an opponent. That's my thought behind the whole defending champion thing and why I believe that they don't really exist outside of those three sports.
Okay. Well, how about this? That's too deep for me. So I'm going to stay on the simple end and just have the defending champion in all sports. I'll play along. But anyway, listen,
I'll let it slide this time.
Okay, good, because I smiled at the hang. going back to the argument about Florida State winning close games, and
uh-huh,
I'm not harping on you because you are a part of millions who said the same thing. So,
mm-hmm,
so let me just get that out right there. Here's how I would count that. Of course, I'm an ACC guy with the NC State undergrad, and I'm somehow not ashamed to admit that. But
that's okay.
As far as as far as who Florida State played, because I know people clown the ACC like many of us tend to do. Let me just count up and say this. Florida State has played the most teams with top 50 defenses in the nation. And Clemson is top ranked defensively. Top ranked in the nation. Clemson. Okay. But let's see. That's the ranked first. I got the list in front of me, so I'm not guessing. Louisville is ranked sixth in the nation in total defense.
Okay.
Florida, the Florida Gators, are ranked ninth in total defense.
Uh-huh.
Boston College, their four missing Boston College, is ranked 12th in total defense.
Okay.
EU is ranked 14th in total defense. I should have had something. Syracuse, sorry, offense and all, is ranked 27th in total defense.
Wow.
And Virginia is ranked 30th in total defense. Now, that's more than half the schedule right there, but I'm not done. Wake Forest, ranked 41st in total defense. And finally, my beloved NC State Wolfpack, ranked 49th in total defense. So what I'm trying to say is this. It's bad
you know
and hard enough. Okay, let me just make one last point, and then I'll let you have the floor.
Okay.
It's hard enough as a defending champion to, I know we love that term, to go through a season unscathed to get to the promised land. It's even tougher, A, to have to go against the top 50 defenses in the nation, and
mm-hmm,
B, have the same, most, like all except for one, well, actually all of them, give that team its best shot, their best shot, because they're either conference rivals or in the case
mm-hmm
of Florida, and us rival help been on revenge of playing and World Muschamps style game as coach. So there you have it. That's my defense of Florida State playing what people think are unnecessarily close games. You got to look at the whole package. These are your conference rivals and your arch rival in Florida, okay,
mm-hmm,
gunning at you. I think Louisville is a great addition to the ACC, by the way, but we'll get into that in a minute. But
oh yeah.
Fuck Maryland, by the way. Sorry about that. I know you're a Maryland guy. Okay. I'm sorry about that. I had to get that out. You know, I'm just saying it's people can't just paint that with a broad brush and say that Florida State's a weaker system of the four. I think that's totally unfair. And I think that is, you know, like I said, if you're the defending champ, you're going to get everyone's best shot, period. So I'll let you have the floor. Didn't mean to cut you off early, so I'll let you make your own.
No, that's quite all right. That's quite all right, because actually you were cutting me off from giving you a compliment. I don't know if that's something that you came up with. And if it is, I'm just letting you know that right now. The whole top 50 defense thing is something I have never heard anyone say all season long. I have heard an individual say that a couple of the teams that you named were top defenses in the country. But I didn't know that many teams that they have faced are top 50 teams nationally. That's something I had no idea about.
Yeah, Florida State.
Yeah, so I applaud you, I credit you, and I'm letting you know now I am biting that is going into my repertoire. So that is something that I will be using. With that said,
use away.
You know, I will have to say, out of the top four, they do have the third weakest strength of schedule amongst the playoff teams at 36.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to go ahead and make this a stat show, but even with the close games, out of the four teams that made the playoffs, they have the most games where their win total has been by 10 or less points at 7. And when you look at that in comparison to Oregon, who hasn't won a game by less than 10 points and have won 8 games by 20 or more, you know, it's kind of hard, you know, to well, it's not hard to put them at number 3. I still believe they should have been at best if they were going to make it in at number 4. That's my personal opinion. But, like I said, you can't deny, and I completely agree with you, that you do have a target on your back when you win a championship. Because, of course, everybody wants a piece of the champ. Everybody wants to do that. Everybody knows that. And you're absolutely correct in terms of the out-of-conference, in-state, rivals. Alabama also blew out that same team in Florida, even though that was earlier in the year. They did beat them by 20.
That's true. That's correct.
You know, you start looking at common opponents. Didn't Alabama also beat Oklahoma State as well?
You talking about Florida State?
No, Alabama.
Oh,
I could be wrong.
So where's our scores? I'm sorry, looking up something right quick as well. Sorry about that.
I'm just looking at, Alabama beat Florida. That was their common opponent. I was trying to remember who was a common opponent, whose common opponent with Florida State was Oklahoma State, but I can't seem to remember at this moment.
Outside of TCU and Baylor, I don't think Alabama nor Ohio State nor Oregon played OK State this year.
Okay. I thought I saw that somewhere. Like I said, there's a chance of me being wrong, and, of course, I was.
No worries.
But with that said, those are my next situations in terms of you look at their record against top 25 teams, Florida State. Actually, Florida State, Oregon, and Ohio State against top 25 teams at the time, they are undefeated. But you start looking at wins against top 10 teams at the time in which they played them. Oregon is the only one that has 2 wins over top 10 teams. That's also very interesting as well. But I was just concerned by the fact that, and this is my personal belief, that Florida State should have beaten teams more handily than what they did, and I think that's the reason why a lot of people haven't respected FSU throughout the year. And being that fans understand 3 things, wins, losses, and the amount of points in which a team wins and or loses by. You start going into to calculations and equations and stuff, and then you start going a little bit more subjective in how badly or how much of game control that exists.
What does game control mean?
You know what? And I've had this discussion before. Game control could probably be better explained as style points. You know, how dominant a team is against a particular opponent. And you would expect a better team to have more game control over a lesser opponent. Especially if you're talking about team against an unranked team, or maybe even a top five team against, say, a team ranked 20 or less. You would expect them to be a lot more dominant in terms of game control. But when you're talking about maybe top five versus top 10 teams, maybe not as much control. But if they are more dominant against those teams, it would shine a little bit more for whoever the winner is.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, I mean that's fair. Those all fair points. But even still, with TCU, I'm gonna shift gears a minute. With people saying, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I've heard people say this, that why not from? Well, actually, you know, a lot of hate towards Ohio State, but why not bump Florida State for Baylor or TCU, one of those cats. And, you know, like I said before, people don't get the fact that, first of all, the committee, it was obvious that they penalized both of those teams, Baylor and TCU, for not playing a conference championship. I really did it in my heart that they punished them.
I don't know, Scott. I find it interesting that the committee says that they didn't, but they looked heavily at the fact that Ohio State did play that extra game. And this is the thing that makes it more interesting to me, and this is part of my beef. It's the fact that the committee went ahead and made TCU third overall last week, knowing that they get to have a conference championship game next week. Well, the following week or this past weekend. It's not like this was a surprise to the committee, where the committee had no idea that, oh, next week they don't have a conference game. Oh, my God, but we put them third. Oh, what do we do? They knew that when they did that. If that's a potential reason, shame on the committee. And I mean, and that's why I felt as though that they felt to pressure our public opinion in doing so, because there's nothing you can say about Ohio State and the way that they played against Wisconsin. That was something that I had discussed with some other people last week, where what happens if Ohio State blows out Wisconsin? There were some circles there, because there was no way in the world no one believed that Ohio State was going to beat Wisconsin with a third-string quarterback. Nobody thought
that.
Right.
And same here. I didn't think that.
Well, neither did I. And then something else was brought up to me. What happens if the game is a blowout, but it's basically because Ohio State creates a ton of turnovers, and it's not because of Ohio State's offense? Do you go ahead and you award Ohio State a higher spot, or the spot into the playoffs, because the defense played well? Or do you go ahead and hold them out because the defense played well, but the third-string quarterback did not? You know, so a lot of variables were thrown out there and played out there, but the one variable no one wanted to believe was the fact that Ohio State's offense, and kudos to Urban Meyer, because I've heard a lot of sports reporters, well, not just out-coached, but I've heard sports reporters that Thursday before the game laugh at Urban Meyer and the Ohio State staff when they said that this guy, the third-string quarterback, was as good as the number one guy.
The number one guy being Braxton Miller, right?
Yes. Yes, yes. Because okay. there were some snickers when they said that JT was as good as Braxton.
I remember that. I remember Urban Meyer saying that, yeah.
You know, and he came out and he played well. So when JT went down and the third string guy came in, he basically said, he's not only as good as JT, but he's as good as Braxton. People laughed and laughed and laughed. I snickered a little bit. I was like, wow, this dude has confidence in his third-string quarterback. Let's see what happens. But this Ohio State team, not only did they play well offensively, but the defense was able to do something that hadn't been done in over a year, which is hold Melvin Gordon to under 100 yards. The last time he was held to under 100 was November 30th of last year. Wow. He had only rushed under 120 yards, I think that is, three times this year.
Wow.
Exactly. So that was the better. Not only did the offense play well, but the defense played well, and I felt as though they should have been number four. And I thought that they were going to knock FSU out, but like I said,
that's what people were thinking too.
Yeah, and I thought the committee was going to be punks. I didn't think the committee was going to be punks and go ahead and just drop TCU three spots. But, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, had this been top four last week, okay, but it wasn't.
Right. You know what? I think this is what I think, too. And I agree with everything what you said, by the way. I agree with your points. Here's the deal, though. I think the committee got cute and bumped TCU ahead of Florida State after Florida State eked out a win against Boston College.
Uh-huh. Okay?
And they just completely, I don't know if they disrespected or forgot about or still held the Virginia Tech loss against them, Ohio State. They slipped on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, to your point, no one, and I mean, no one thought that Ohio State, well, first of all, no one thought that Ohio State could rebound against, like from the loss against Virginia Tech the way they did, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, no one in the hell, outside of maybe Ohio State fans, thought that they had a chance in hell against, I thought it was a good Wisconsin team going to the game with their third string quarterback. When that kid, J.T. Barrett, went down against Michigan, I'm thinking, oh, it's a wrap. They're not beating Wisconsin next week. And I think a lot of people thought that. But
exactly.
Lo and behold, I'm like, and I remember Michael Smith talking to Jamel Hill on His and Hers, saying that, hey, you know, because he was afraid of Florida State would get bumped out. Jamel was pretending that they'd be left in no matter what happens with Ohio State. I'm like, there's no way Ohio State's going to, first of all, win and blow out Wisconsin. But like I said, they didn't just curb stomp Wisconsin. They violated them. That was a straight violation. And when I went down, when I was watching the score, because I didn't watch the game, I watched Florida State, I was like, there's no way that the committee can keep them out. They can't keep Ohio State out now. They can't keep them out. Because to see that curb stomp with a third-string quarterback, it would be criminal to keep a house down. Okay, so what's the cover? So what's the easier way to go out? Like for the committee, what's the easier route for them? I would knock out the defending national champs, undefeated, like the only undefeated team for a Power Five conference, or about a squad whose conference does not play a conference championship and was named co-champion by a stupid ass Bob Bolster. The latter was the easiest. Even though TCU was inexplicably ranked third to begin with, but that was the easier way to go out for the committee, and we are.
Exactly. But you already know how I feel about co-champions.
I do. And I agree with you. It's stupid. It's very stupid. It's asinine. I could go on and on. Seriously. I mean, why not have a Why not have a participation award if you're on that co-champion bullshit? Come on now.
You know what? So, with that said, I haven't spoken to you since We had the HBCU college football roundup, and that was the week before what I like to call the travesty, a.k.a. the five-way tie in the MEAC. That has never been done before that I've seen so far. I'm still looking through the history books. It has never been done in FCS football where a conference has named five teams co-champion, let alone five teams in an 11-team conference co-champions. But that's I digress. I thought I had to get that out of my system as well.
No, that's okay.
Still, it still kind of stings.
The MEAC commission should be fired, by the way, for doing that, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's another story for another day. That's done.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll draw on that.
Yeah, but I knew that you want to talk about it, and I think that we should probably move on to that conversation as well in terms of what's going on within the Big 12 and TCU and Baylor is whether or not they should have a conference championship game. Now, I completely agree with you. Go ahead, man up, name the champion. And if you feel as though that you should do it, go ahead, do your championship game. But that doesn't necessarily fix all of the problems because at that point, what you have now is all five, and that is the power five, right? The power five conferences,
yes,
from the Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC and SEC all having championship games playing for four spots. So that's going to have to be a situation, even if what we had this year was to happen, if the Big 12 were to have a championship game, we would still have what we have actually today, where it will be a situation where Baylor and TCU, teams that have would have been 3 and 5, would be going head up, and the winner of that game potentially being left out of the championship talks or the playoff talks, or a situation where the winner of that game knocks Florida State out of the top four.
Mm.
So there would still be conversation. Where someone would be mad at the end of the day, where someone who felt as though that their team should have been in but didn't make it in. Now, how ugly would that have been if the Big 12 would have had a championship game?
Yes. Well,
because you can't deny the winner between the number 3 and number 5 teams out of the playoffs. That's ridiculous. As ridiculous as it is to keep an undefeated team out, it's even more ridiculous to keep the winner of a 3 and 5 team out. And then it's kind of ridiculous to keep Ohio State out for what they did to the number 13 team.
Right.
So it just creates a whole another bowl of bag of worms, if you may.
Well, the conference commissioners came up with the system. They knew good and damn well that someone was going to get left out when they came up with the top four. And by the way, I love the top four. As much as I want to be a glutton for football and want to expand it out to 8, I think they would dilute the regular season a little bit because, frankly, the top 8 instead of our top 4, I don't think any of the conference championship games over the weekend would have much impact. That's just me. Because if that's the case, Mississippi State would have almost qualified because I think they're sitting at 8. And, a lot of the teams, those teams that played, like Georgia Tech, Wisconsin, Missouri, they wouldn't have a chance in hell to make the top 8 unless they won and got a lot of help. So, out of way, you would have been stuck in the same scenario. So why not dilute it? I mean, why dilute it, I should say. So I like that four the way it is. Please keep it at 4. Do not expand that shit to 8. Or else.
You know what? I'm more of an advocate the other way. I completely agree with you.
Okay.
There's no need for 8. And I've seen a lot of people start screaming since Sunday, oh, my God, we need to do 8. I'm more of a fan of 24. Now, I understand that a lot of the championship games, men wouldn't necessarily count with the exception of seeding and who potentially gets a bye. But I feel as though that even though there still will be questions, especially if you leave, matter of fact, it doesn't matter how many teams you have in, 2, 4, 8, 28, 64, 104, if there's a selection committee process involved, somebody's going to get shunned unless you put everybody in. And somebody's going to be mad because of the process. So the process has to be simplified and clarified to the point where we go into the season, we know what everyone needs to do. This is what you need to do in order to get the playoffs.
Right.
There's no more conversation about what else needs to be done. After that's done, then, you know, it's Calfer champions get in, and then I guess certain benchmarks need to be made. However you want to figure that out, and that's the only way that you can have a true playoff system without criticism ever happen, but that'll never happen.
Well, you know what? I always said this, too. And, again, I'm against the whole principle of expanding the field, but – and they wanted a quote-unquote true playoff, expand that shit to 10. Buck 16, just keep it at 10. That way, have all all 10, like, FBS conference champions play. Have them
you
all
know
play.
What?
Yeah, like give the top two seed a bye. Numbers makes one and two a bye, okay?
Uh-huh.
Have the highest seed teams host the first round, and then that'll go to what, the semifinals after that, and then have the final game. If they want a true playoff, that's how a true playoff is. Have every one of the conference champions, all 10 of that includes the group of five, compete. But that will never happen. You know why? Because that would require the big boys, the top five, to split the pot. With the little guys, that's just never going to happen. So.
Well, that's reason number one. Actually, yeah, that's reason number one, because it all comes down to money and politics. It all comes down to money and politics. Ask UAB. With that, moving on past that, because that's a whole other monster in itself.
That's a whole other podcast in itself, bro.
Oh my God! And the more I hear about the UAB situation, the uglier it gets. But
yes.
The reason why that wouldn't work in teams in terms of having conference champions all get in is because you would have teams like Georgia Tech, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arizona. You would have all of those teams, TCU, Baylor this year. You would all have them and their fan base pissed. Because you have teams like Marshall that play in a very weak conference USA make it in solely because of the fact that they play in a weak conference. And you have these other teams who are like, you know what, we play in a tougher conference, we have a tougher schedule. Why is it that this weak team, even though they are a conference champion, why is it that they can get in but we can't?
Mm.
You know, we feel as though that we play tougher competition, we should be able to compete for a national title before they can. So that because of that right there, that would never happen. Even though it's a good idea in theory just to have the champions play, it'll never happen because you would have people or institutions and their fan base of those that are in the Power Five that don't win championships complain.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I mean, it comes down to what's perceived as fairness. You know, it's like you have Marshall. We're picking on Marshall right now, but Mark, the example of Marshall, playing the Conference USA, you know, beating Louisiana, the immortal Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
Texters or whatever. And, you know, I mean, and plus who else? Like, and I like Boise State. But still. It's the Mountain West. The Mountain West is good, but it's not better than the end of the Power Five conference. And exactly. Same goes to the MAC. You know, again, a good conference that plays good football, but it's not the SEC. So,
true.
Point being is that, you know, you have all those fans from a Baylor, from a TCU, or whoever got the short end of that stick, bitching about those things. So, you're right. I'm just saying, to me, it comes down to money, but also, I guess, to your point, the fairness issue as well. So, I guess the little guys are being kept out for the time being, unless they have a really good season schedule, folks. But speaking of scheduling, folks, that's another huge beef I had with both TCU and Baylor in particular. Not the whole of the pack. I mean, I saw the Big 12. But take a look at Baylor's out-of-conference schedule, folks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Baylor, it wasn't exactly like a murderous row, you know. You know, I mean, who did they play? They traveled to Buffalo. They traveled to Buffalo to play the immortal Buffalo Bulls from the MAC. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on now. Come on, dude.
You know what?
I mean, and who else? And let's see. SMU, oh, wow. Northwestern State, that's a barn burner.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now. Hey. Baylor, there's no excuse for that.
You know what? The same could be said about SEC teams. If you look at the top
true.
SEC teams, their out-of-conference schedule is pretty piss poor, too, in comparison to some other conferences. But the excuse that is always tossed out is the fact that the SEC is the end-all, be-all, best conference in the nation, and they all have to face one another. So that's why this year the schedule is always so high, because they, we saw that just not this past weekend, but the prior weekend when the ACC basically ran through the SEC.
Yeah. Even though they all like to say, where was the SEC East? Well, they weren't as good. They're not the better teams in the SEC. All that's technically true. But since you're the big, bad SEC, you went winless against the quote-unquote little brother that was the ACC. So shut up. Stop making excuses. You can't have it both ways. And keep it moving.
You can't.
Keep it moving.
You really can't. And then if you want to take it to, you know, comparing ACC to SEC West, this whole divisional thing with the SEC is hilarious to me, because we really did just watch Florida State defeat SEC West team just last January. Well, actually, this January. We really did.
Yes.
We did see that, right? I'm just saying that did happen. So
that did happen. Oklahoma curb stomped Alabama in the Sugar Bowl last year. That happened
too. So don't beat your chest, SEC West. I mean, you guys have taken some L's. I mean, I understand where the respect comes from in terms of them winning 7 national championships in this millennium. You know, millennium's 14 years old, so that's half of them. So they've earned that respect. But don't get too cocky, because, you know, you've taken some lumps. You've taken some lumps and taken some lumps recently. So that's why I always say, when speaking about the SEC, especially the SEC West, if they are as strong as people say that they are, because they only, up until January, they only beat up against each other. That's it. They really don't play anybody outside of conference.
I will say this, out of fairness, Auburn have been really the only ones that really did step out of the outcome schedule. I mean, they played, they went to Kansas State, crying out loud, and won a very tough game at against a very tough opponent in Kansas State. So give Auburn props for scheduling up. LSU typically schedules up as well. Remember that one season where they went to the national championship and lost to Alabama, but that same year they played West Virginia on the road with Geno Smith, I think, was playing. And I forget who else. I think they played at Wisconsin that year. I'm guessing now. I know they played West Virginia. They played at West Virginia that year. And they went from outside of the top 15, I think, maybe top 10, so top 15, all the way to number one, and rightfully so. They earned it. But Alabama this year, their toughest out-of-conference opponent was West Virginia at the beginning of the year, the Georgia Dome. So I'll give Alabama a little bit of credit, for even though West Virginia wasn't a barn burner, like wasn't world beaters, but they were pretty good this season. They were, I think they finished with 7 or 8 wins, so they're pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
But Florida Atlantic, Southern Miss, Western Carolina especially, get the fuck out of here. y'all can do better, man. You're Bama. You can do better.
Exactly.
Come on now. They're coming out. I mean, meanwhile, you got Boston College. I know we've been picking on Boston College all year. They beat SC.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Cal. Even though Southern Cal is underachieved too, but Southern Cal has athletes. Team like Boston College has no damn business beating SC. I don't care if they play it in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. They don't know if this is winning that game. You know, Virginia, and I'm not going to pull Skip Bayless and go almost or ifs, but they played a damn good game against UCLA to start the season. If their strong quarterback hadn't thrown up all over himself and cost the team 21 points, they would have won that. So my point being is you can't make blanket statements about conferences and
no.
not have and not be adequate in your own house. And that's my only beef I have with SEC fans, that they like to toss that around. But keep in mind, you ought to schedule a house if you will. It's not in order to. But I'm not gonna go on that tangent of bashing conferences. The whole fact of the matter, the whole point is that, you know, you've got to schedule up. And that's why I like the 4-team setup, because the committee sent the message at Baylor's expense, and to some extent TCU's as well. Just schedule up. Period, point blank, and then schedule. You have to schedule up. There's no excuse. You can't fight cupcakes anymore. So, you know what?
Now that I think about it, and this is an angle that really. But it really didn't hurt an SEC team that you think about it this way. Last week, when TCU moved up to 3, that was the week that the SEC basically played all of their cupcakes. Well, not the
right.
Actually, no, that was 2 weeks ago, right? When all of the big SEC schools played a bunch of cupcakes and basically. Did that before they started having their conference championship game. So that's SEC need to pay attention too, because they have a history of scheduling cupcakes late in the season. So that's something that they need to be aware of. But I'm starting to think that SEC championship game will probably end up erasing all of that as well.
So there you go. So that's why. So the question is, okay, if the Big 12 does, if the Big 12 decides to expand just so that they can have a conference championship, who should the two be? I'm thinking
that
Cincinnati and BYU.
That is a fantastic question. Sadly, at this moment, I wouldn't be able to give you an answer. The thing that I would say that would have to be taken into consideration, of course, has to be, I'm guessing, travel in terms of closeness and proximity to the rest of the teams that are in that conference, and potentially someone who is staunch enough to compete in the conferences that they're already in, but probably aren't good enough to really dominate those conferences. Possibility that those teams will have to come from another Power 5 conference. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
That's my thought. I doubt very seriously if it happens. I know, of course, it won't come from anybody in the Pac-12. And right now, I know it won't come from SEC because of the fact that they have the network. It's a possibility. Yeah. And you're right, that it may come from the ACC, and that school could potentially be Louisville. But the thing that hurts the Big 12 in that is basketball. And the fact that Louisville is such a basketball, well, they play great basketball as well, national champions not too long ago, that they're going to want to compete in the ACC with that. So that's why I'm thinking that maybe Louisville doesn't go. BYU potentially, maybe even Boise State.
You know, I wrote a rant a few years ago when the whole conference expansion thing was going on about why at the time, I think it was, this is a year where, where Syracuse and Pitt announced their intention to go to ACC, when Texas A&M and Missouri made it, announced their intention to leave for the Big 12, by the way, to the SEC. When Colorado like made a decision to go to the Pac-12, Nebraska to the Big Ten, and whatnot, I was like, you know, after the Big 12 survived the absorption, if you will, of the Pac-12, but the Pac, which is the Pac-10 at the time, why they should take at the time Boise State. Boise State was a powerhouse. And, it, you know, everything's all about football now. That's where the money is. So why not have – I mean, I was picturing Chris Peterson, then coach of the Boise State, going up against Matt Brown, going up against Bob Stoops, going up against really those two schools that were running shit. But just the idea of having those three football powers in the same conference, it would have been win-win because it would have helped expand the Big 12 footprint, and it would have helped Boise State. It would have helped Boise State a little more. I should just be honest about it, because Boise State would have picked up more recruits, you know, because they could recruit successfully in Oklahoma and Texas and claim that, hey, we're playing these guys now. So I want to join this school. But of course, that ship has long sailed. I think Boise State may. It still is it's a decent idea, but I think if you read the tea leaves, and not that I go to ESPN for guys of all things stuff, but it looks like Cincinnati and BYU, because this West Virginia is probably bitching right now. I haven't bitched for the last few seasons about being left out on the island and then having travel vouchers provided to them by the Big 12, because their closest opponent is Iowa State, which is like over 2,000 miles away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, West Virginia is not a Midwest school, as are its Big 12 rivals. Not a true Midwestern school anyway. I think West Virginia is more of a Southern school. But be that as it may, I just don't see West Virginia being left there on the island, like on the island anymore. And they'll force the conference, get 12 conference to take Cincinnati, BYU. And I heard some reports of maybe Cincinnati and Memphis. John thought it kind of hard to get.
And who else? Hello?
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay.
You hear me?
No, I heard Cincinnati and who was the other school?
Cincinnati, BYU, but some people yesterday are saying Memphis.
Memphis. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Memphis. Why Memphis? I mean, maybe for the market, I guess, but then again, people in Memphis probably care more about Ole Miss football than Memphis football. That's just my guess.
Interesting. Actually,
even the
I would say Memphis is rather interesting. The fact that you brought up Colorado actually is interesting because they once were Big 12, right?
Right. They were Big 12.
Yeah, so
part of the Big 8.
You know, potentially them going back is something to think about and potentially address. You know, like I said before, I really have no idea of how that would work out or who would potentially go. But the schools that we've named so far sound like relatively decent candidates for football, especially, with the exception of maybe Memphis. You know, I don't know what Memphis is doing as of right now, football wise. But it's a possible. Yeah, see. Exactly. So I'm thinking that it's a possibility that Memphis, actually not a possibility, I know that it would, Memphis would aid them basketball-wise. But that's another story for another day. But that would be interesting.
Sure.
That they, depending upon what their motive would be in expansion, would it be because they want to bolster up football, or do they want to go ahead and bring in something that will bolster both?
That's a good point. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, to be honest with you, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I kind of just got to go with our college football playoff predictions. But I think the Big 12 is one Texas, University of Texas implosion or history still away from breaking up. Because keep in mind that back when that whole thing went down 5-6 years ago, I guess, that maybe less than that, but where the Pac-12 almost became the Pac-16. And the only thing that kept the Pac-12 becoming the Pac-16 was Texas Longhorns. They didn't want to lose the Longhorn Network. That was the deal.
Yeah.
That was the only reason why the only whimsical Texas Longhorn team away from breaking up again, because it's going to come up time and time again. That's why I think it's going to happen. But you're speechless.
I am, because I remember that. I remember that we were talking about this huge potential power conference happening, and the fact that it almost did was interesting to me.
Yeah. So there you go. So let me get you out here on this.
Okay.
College football playoff predictions. Who you got?
The Alabama Ohio State game, that's going to be the Sugar Bowl game, right?
Yes, sir.
Interesting. God. This is a toughie for me, actually, because my mind wants to say take Alabama, but my nuts want to say take the Buckeyes. How ironic. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say, it's January, right? So they got a couple of months. Saban versus Meyer. Talk about an old SEC throwback. It's kind of early, but I'm going to actually take Ohio State over Alabama, and I'm taking Oregon over FSU.
Wow, you got the all upset Final Four, and Final Two, rather.
Yes, and the reason why I'm taking Oregon over FSU is because of the fact that they're playing in the West Coast. It's a possibility this one may be a track meet for Oregon. I've heard FSU fans say for the past couple of weeks, the one thing that they did not want to do is go out to California and play Oregon, and that's exactly what they're going to have to do. So that means they got a lot to prove. Mind you, they've played top five teams, even though Notre Dame turned out to be not to be a top 25 team at all. But they've played top teams. But, you know, they've played teams Yeah, exactly. They play teams tough all year long. But I'm thinking this is a game, sadly, FSU, that you may get exposed. And this is coming from a former FSU fan. And it's just going to be hard for me to watch if that actually happens. I'll be rooting for FSU, but I have a strange feeling that Oregon may take it to them. So look for Oregon versus Ohio State in the championship game.
Right. Well, here's my prediction.
Okay.
Well, first of all, Alabama, Ohio State, I think that's going to be a better game than people realize. I think some people may be saying this is where midnight will strike for Ohio State because, you know, it's the juggernaut, that's Alabama. The SEC mm-hmm. propaganda comes behind it. But in all seriousness, you can't count on Nick Saban in games like this. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're playing in the sugar, like in the Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans, that's a de facto home game for them because New Orleans is not that far from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Hell, it's not far from the state of Alabama, border, period. You know, because keep in mind, a lot of people in Alabama love them Saints. So, you know, there's a correlation there. So I think that Alabama gets some home cooking and beats Ohio State by double digits. It won't be a curve stomping.
Wow.
It won't be a blow. I'm thinking 13 points at least. I think that Nick Saban has something for them boys. And even though I'm looking my chops over this matchup of two coaches in their prime, offense versus defense versus offense, Saban versus Meyer, I think that the whole Superdome thing in New Orleans, I think that Alabama's death, I think that Alabama's size and speed will overwhelm the Buckeyes. Again, mm-hmm. it will be a curve stomping. They'll win by double digits. Going over to the Rose Bowl, I was thinking I'm worried for Florida State, and I've been tempted to pick Oregon many times since the parents came out. But of course, Stephen A. Smith. However, I'm gonna throw some things at you. Okay. Played this us against the world card for a long time. They started midway last year when people play on the schedule. Instead of they'll get beat by SEC team in the national championship game because the Auburn Tigers have actually played people in Florida State have not. And carry over to this season. I mean, hell, three one of those teams once jumped them. Okay? And one of the teams has been bounced out since then, but still. Now, you're going to have them go and play a de facto road game in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. But here's where I think Florida State has the edge. They know no one has any love for them. They know that people are counting on Jameis Winston. They know that people are waiting for Florida State and Jimbo Fisher to fall on their faces. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been winning games all year, taking best shots from the conference rivals and its arch rival in Florida. And I'll tell you what, Oregon may be flashing the offense, but their defense can't stop a nosebleed. Let's be honest. Let's call it spade to spade. They can't stop shit. The reason why Oregon has not lost, has beaten teams by no less than maybe 20 points, is because out of the teams they face, A, is not talented offensively as they are, and B, they didn't have a good defense. Florida State will get most of the key defensive players back by the goal score. His name escapes me. He's a nose tackle for Florida State who got injured early in the season. But
mm-hmm.
they're going to get a lot of their defensive line back to go along with Mario Edwards instead at defensive end. They're going to get their linebackers back. And Oregon's defense has not seen the Jameis Winston experience. The good with
Jameis Winston experience, not the bad one.
Mm.
Good Jameis Winston experience. They hadn't seen Dalvin Cook. They hadn't seen Rashad Green. They hadn't seen Jack Nix's grandson, Nick O'Leary. They hadn't seen their offensive line. This is going to be new for Oregon. This is going to be very new for Oregon. Oregon, this is the first time Oregon will face a team with athletes, okay? Jimbo Fisher knows how to recruit. So this is a whole new world for Oregon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if Oregon does win, then I'm going to go and say it, they'll win a national championship if they beat Florida State. If they beat Florida State, they're winning it all because that's the first time Oregon has faced a complete team like them. However, again, I think that the whole earth against the world will key in for Florida State. I think Florida State will come in pissed off. I think Florida State wants to stick it to the selection committee and the so-called experts to downgrade the schedule, to downgrade their abilities if they play close games all year except for maybe the Virginia game and another one against the FCS school, I think. And I think they're going to thank Oregon. They need close games, and that's why Florida State does it. But I think Florida State's athleticism, I think Florida State's speed, and I think Florida State's size will wear down Oregon. So there you go. As far as the national championship game, I got Bama beating Florida State. It'll be a good one. But again, you can't count out Nick. You can't pick against Nick Saban who sticks the highest. So there you go.
Okay. I will say, I don't know if Oregon has faced defense as good as Florida State's defense. I will agree with you on that. And what the next couple of weeks, actually the next month, will do, will give Florida State that opportunity to go ahead and think about everything that has happened this year in terms of the respect or lack thereof that has come, especially from the committee. But what I'm going to need Jameis Winston to do is sit down and shut up and stay out of damn trouble. Do you have a month of no football, nothing but practice? You don't get to see nobody else.
Yes, sir.
Stay the hell out of Riverdale. That's a Simpsons quote for those that don't know. Stay out of trouble, dude.
Yeah.
Do nothing dumb. Please, your team needs you. And this is not the time, the next 4 weeks, to do something dumb. Just go ahead and focus on football and do whatever it is you need to do to help your team win with this championship.
You
so,
go.
You know.
Plain and simple. I like that. What Kevin Hawkins once said, stop doing stupid shit. The end.
Exactly.
stop doing stupid shit, Jameis.
Hey,
man, it should be fun. I'll be watching. I know you've been watching it, too. So thanks a lot for joining me, bro, and we'll talk soon.
No problem. But before we go, can I say this one last thing?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations to Jay Hobson and the Alcorn State Braves. This is the first time that they've won the SWAC championship since having the great Air McNair. And so it's been 20 years since that championship that they've won a SWAC title. Even that year, it was co-champions with Grambling. But the last time they won the title outright was 1992, also with Steve McNair. The reason why they were able to do it was, once again, with a great QB and his name. You watch out for this dude. I think he's a junior, if I remember correctly. His name is John Gibbs, Jr. This dude John Gibbs Jr. He tallied up 377 yards of offense by himself, 243 in the air, 132 on the ground, and 3 touchdowns by himself.
Great,
this
bro.
Dude has played phenomenally all year long. Congratulations once again, Jay Hobson. He is the first ever white head coach in the SWAC to win a SWAC title.
Go ahead, man. That's what I'm talking about. See white people? It's all good. It's all good. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for the good word, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. And thanks for letting me get my that pressure, that monkey on my chest in terms of Florida State.
You got it, bro. That's what I'm here for. Take care, bro.
You do the same, bro. Speak to you later.
All right, peace. That's our man, Dwayne Nash, breaking it down for us. Damn, I really enjoyed that. This has been, to me, by far, the best college football season in recent history. Recent memory, I should say. You got a real playoff for a change. Four teams. Last weekend has been very exciting. Conference championships. Sorry, TCU and Baylor. It's been a great regular season as well. Looking forward to the bowl season. Looking forward to New Year's Day when the four teams of college football playoff play. Should be exciting. Looking forward to it. Again, this is Scott Burks. The Clown, thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to all good stuff. A big old 60, y'all. Good night.